Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
I love the way quick Steve, the producer, Johan.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm the only one who's got a tag, so maybe we got to get up something
we
for you guys.
We should pay him more money.
Yes.
So it is Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Joe, and joining, I mean,
the
quadrillions
producer.
Of listeners out there as we speak on this 103rd episode.
103.
Wow. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, that's us. Let's see what's happening in the automotive news segment in this particular portion of the show, which we have cleverly titled Back to the Blacktop. Steve has news and information that mostly he just makes up.
Well, one of the first things that I noticed this week is, if you haven't been noticing in the regular news, is UAW is making headlines as General Motors demands for new concessions on health care and meager wage increase have emerged as issues energizing the United Auto Workers strike against the company in what is quickly turning into the longest nationwide walkout by the UAW in about a half a century. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading.
Does that even work anymore?
What's that?
Walking out. Yeah. So just by Japanese cars instead.
Well,
you gotta have some, leverage.
Yeah.
In order to do
yeah.
That. Oh, you guys walked out. Well, you know, Toyota's got a sale.
I can't blame them. They want better wages.
I understand. Everybody wants better wages.
But it'll be interesting to see if it actually does make a difference, or you know, it'll be interesting.
It will be. And see, here's my thing. I think Shane is kind of heading the same direction. You got American automakers killing models left and right to try to reach a marketplace that's only interested in SUVs and pickup trucks.
Right.
You got the Japanese market, the import market, absolutely targeting sedans because nobody else has them.
Right.
And their prices are better. You know, it just is.
Yep.
And then you got the workers saying, well, because we've slashed our model numbers down to nothing, we deserve more money for making the ones we make. That's not a strong bargaining point. This isn't the best time to do this.
Well, and who were we talking at the show? I was talking to somebody at one of the shows, and the fact is they were saying that you can get the sedans of the import version, even made here in the United States,
sure,
go for about $10,000 less than the sedan versions of the American. And that's why they decided they couldn't sell a lot of them.
Of course. Yeah, it's just economics.
Yeah, you were talking to my friend Joe at the party.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, just
economics. You're saying, now, why is it, Brady, that I can't get a sedan made in the United States? And you kind of explained it. Well,
you can.
Yeah, it's just a Toyota.
It's just not made by Ford.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, as you may know, have you heard, electric vehicles are all but silent at low speeds, and a potential problem considering pedestrian fatalities are already on the rise. Now, the National Highway Traffic Safety Association wants to let owners choose the warning sounds that their battery-operated cars make at low speeds.
I just love this.
And the following makers are doing just that. Toyota uses a beeping noise when you shift into reverse in one of its Prius models, including both the standard hybrid and the plug-in Prius Prime.
Yes.
Mercedes AMG performance brand turned to rock band Linkin Park to come up with some decidedly different sounds for the electric vehicle lineup it is preparing to roll out. Nissan's proposed Canto system sounds a bit like a choir when the car is running at speeds of 19 miles per hour or less.
I want a chicken.
And Mitsubishi makes the existing sound of the electric motors.
I want when you come around the corner in your Prius, I want. That's what I want.
Well, your Harley kind of.
Potato, potato, potato.
That's right.
That's not a
now,
problem.
That's it. All the Harley guys could say, I want to dial it in and make it sound like a Harley.
Could you see? Speaking of.
You download an app.
Yeah.
Use your own sound.
Speaking of electric cars, did you see is it Lamborghini or Ferrari? They've now released I don't think it's a concept car. I think they're actually planning on doing it. It's not out yet. They just unveiled the model 2V. I can't remember what it is. I saw it today just real quickly. It's very swoopy. It's a, you know, it's a Ferrari Lamborghini. It's very cool.
Right.
But they're talking idiot performance and $2.2 million, by the way.
Well, they have to go up against the 300 horsepower or 300 mile per hour latest that came out from.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that Bentley?
Yeah, Bentley. Yeah.
Bugatti. Bugatti is the one that came out with
the
300.
Yeah, the Chiron, yeah.
Yeah, the Chiron. It's 300 ridiculous. Miles per hour.
But it's a $2 million car, too. I mean, who's,
jeez.
I'll just be putting one of those in the garage. Never.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'll call Shane up and say, I've got it. Can you come help me fix it?
Well, yeah. Speaking of Bentley, it's celebrating its 100th birthday. Did you know that, guys? It's a 100th birthday
of
Bentley.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
And as part of their celebration spread across this year, this past weekend, is the 2019 Goodwill Revival Races, which saw 29 Bentleys pre-1930s competing on the racetrack against each other. I mean, wouldn't that be incredibly cool? They got a little video of that. Sure. I mean, you're seeing cars that are worth a fortune, and they're out there racing like they were meant to do.
Big wheels, open wheel cars.
Yeah, back in the day.
I love the fact that Bentley was one of the first cars that actually had a supercharger. All the roots type, you know, the old screw-driven things.
Yep. Right.
How cool is that, that a 45 or 46 Bentley with a supercharger. Like, come on. James Bond, you know, had one before they gave him the Aston Martin.
Wow. That I think it's so cool. I think it's really cool. And then big news.
Speaking of, have you ever heard one of those things light up? They're scary sounding. I mean, you think about that. It doesn't do
what,
anything.
What, the old ones?
Yeah, an old roots type supercharger.
Okay.
They have a unique noise.
Yeah, it's like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
But a really evil vacuum cleaner.
A corkscrew turbine is just a strange noise.
Yeah. Do you have anything around the shop that I can hear?
He's got a Hoover. There's a shop vac. It's got
a couple BMGs, but they're not the same.
Tell you
sound.
What, while we're on the break,
okay, we'll look it up.
I'll call one up on Google. We'll find one.
Yes,
there.
Let's do that. Well, big news from the music world. Two major players passed this week. Eddie Money.
Yeah.
And Rick Ocasek.
Rick Ocasek from the Cars.
From the Cars.
Yeah.
Both huge influences of a lot of people. And for me, it was my boyhood music growing up as a teenager in the 70s and then in my 20s and the 80s. And they both played a huge role. So prayers out there to their families for their loss. Rick was 75. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Eddie Money was 70.
And I thought Rick was a lot younger. Really,
the Cars have been around for a long time, and he was a little older than some of the other guys. But yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
It's an amazing. I actually tuned in and watched the Hall of Fame. They did get it in 2018. God, sometimes it takes a long time.
I remember the album cover from the album that had Candy O.
Yes,
it's like
Candy O. I need you so.
Don't ever sing again.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'll just do that. I'll record that, and that'll be your sound on your electric car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me consider noise pollution.
Oh, yes. Anyway, preparing for higher price at the gas pump. We've all heard the noise that's going on about Saudi Arabia getting hit by one of the refineries. In these day and ages, I don't believe a thing that any of the news says about any of that stuff. But the bottom line, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be an excuse to raise the price of gas everywhere across the United States. That's right.
Always is.
Always
having a headache. I think we'll raise the price of gas. Okay, fine. Again.
Exactly. And speaking of raising prices, there was kind of something I remember when it went up to $4 a gallon. This is how many years ago?
Several
years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's when motor oil used to buy it for 89 cents a quart, went to $3, $4, $5.
Yeah.
And you know what? The price of oil has dropped way back down. Have those prices ever gone?
Nope.
No. They are pocketing so freaking much money.
Well,
I buy mine at Fred Meyer. It's the cheapest place in town.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're energy neutral now. I mean, we have as much oil as we need right here in this country.
But let's say Pennzoil or Chevron Oil, they don't make it from the same. They buy their oil and produce it themselves.
Yeah.
And they're charging more for that.
The market will bear it.
It is.
So that's what it is.
And, Paul Ingracia, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and author of numerous articles and books on the auto industry, just passed away at 69 from cancer. So
he'll be missed.
Yes, prayers go out to him and his family too.
Hey, well, we're glad you're with us. Coming up, we got to talk with an all-woman racing club from Spokane and a whole bunch of other cool stuff, plus the sound of a Roots supercharger on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
We're back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And this week, we're going to be talking with Rachel Stevens from the Misshifter Kart Club in Spokane.
Yeah,
hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Hey. So,
it's Rochelle, by the way.
It is Rochelle.
You know, I knew that. I practiced that way. I still said Rachel.
Well, you know, it's because it's
I read it.
It's because it's R-A-C-H, and, you know, that's what it is. Hey, so you are, I want to know what your official title of the Miss Shifters Car Club is. Are you the president?
I am.
The head cook?
President.
Head cook and bottle washer and all that stuff, too?
Yep, pretty much.
Nice. So it's all women, yeah?
Yes.
And all racers and all builders and kind of independent on your own, right?
No, we have a variation. We have girls that have their cars built for them. We have girls that mess with their own cars. We have racers.
Nice.
We have spectators. We have the whole gamut. Just like,
super.
Really just like any other car club.
Well, we're gonna talk a whole bunch about the Misshifters and what you guys are doing and where you are and everything else. But in the segment just before we got to you, which you didn't hear because we didn't have you on the phone yet. We were talking about superchargers. Now, I don't know if anybody in your club has got a supercharger on their car, but the old original Roots supercharger, the screw-type ones, make a sound that's different from everything else, and we found one, so I swore that I would play this, so I'm going to. Anybody who drives cars, especially people who drive cars fast, will appreciate this. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, here it comes. Here we go.
Oh,
I love that. That's like, okay, I'm in. Whatever it takes to do that.
Wow.
I'm in.
Sounds like my three-speed when I was really going fast.
Well, yeah, you know, the story
with
was...
the cards on it.
The Bentley was one of the first cars back in like 44, 5, 6, 7, right in there, to have supercharger as an option, and they were all the old screw type,
yeah.
And what a sound.
Imagine that coming from a Volkswagen.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Rochelle, what kind of... give us a kind of an overview of the club. How'd you guys get started? How long you been going? And, you know, what? Give us kind of a typical day in the life of a Misshifter.
Well, the Misshifters was started in June of 2009 by a woman named Alicia Wood.
Okay.
Other car clubs wouldn't let her in, so she's like, I'll just make my own club. And so she did, and I met her in August of 2009. And I was like, I need to hang with you every day, right now, immediately. And we became good friends, and it kind of went from there. Her family suffered a tragedy, and the club kind of fell to the wayside for a little while. And then I, at the time, I was driving a Duster, my husband's grandmother's Duster, and it was not my favorite car. But then I purchased my dream car, which is a 64 Impala.
Oh.
And, yeah, and I called her, and I said, can I restart this? I want to do this again. And I just started finding all these chicks, and it was awesome.
Nice.
And we've been together ever since.
So how many people in the club?
There are 31 of us.
Wow.
That is a good-sized club.
Yes.
And so give me an idea of some of the cars.
Let me think.
You don't have to
do all of them,
but some of them.
We have a 1953 Henry J.
All right.
We have a 69 Firebird 400.
I have to ask you a question about the Henry J. Real quickly. Is it a gasser?
No.
It may be one of the only three Henry J's in the universe that's not a gasser. That's great.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. You can go on our website and look at all these cars. We have a 87 Camaro.
Yeah.
We have a Toyota Celica. We have a bunch of 67, 68, and 69 Camaros. We have a 63 Thunderbird. I have a 64 Impala and a 64 Bel Air wagon. We've got some Novas. We got a 54 Bel Air. We have a really cool Dodge 440 Anniversary Edition.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it's a 64. We have a lot of 60s cars, obviously.
Yeah, cool. It sounds like you run the gamut, though. You got imports and domestic, so.
We do. We have a couple Volkswagen Bugs, one new, one old. We have a 29 Ford. We have all kinds of stuff.
Nice. So, obviously, you know, you race. But you also cruise, you do events. Give me a day in the life of a Miss Shifter.
Well, today we went and we hung out at an old, like a retirement home.
Ah.
So the old folks could hang out and see our cars. But, you know, we'll meet up early in the morning, then we'll go hang out at a car show all day, and then maybe we'll rush to a race, and us racers will race all night, and some of the girls will hang out. And we just have a really good time.
Just like any other car club on the planet.
Pretty much, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That is super. So now, you guys are in Spokane, Washington, on the east side of the states, the crown jewel of the Inland Empire, as it turns out.
Yes.
I know that because I have family over there. And I know that some of the other groups that are over in that neck of the woods, Kevin Martin and the RSC guys, they've been on our show a couple, three times, and they're getting involved in doing a rat rod build-off. And I know you guys know each other, at least noddingly.
Yes. And we did a kickoff event with them this summer.
Oh, super. And Spokane is really pretty big in terms of car culture. There's a lot of stuff going on over there.
Oh, yeah. Tons. Well, we met them at the Speed and Custom show.
Right.
Like, we pulled in. They were in, and then we pulled in. They're like, oh, my God, you guys are like a fringe group, too. And we're like, ooh, so are you. Let's hang out.
A fringe group.
That's great. Yeah. Well, you know, car clubs.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't fit really with any of the other clubs.
You're not the Tri-Five people and the Corvette Mark Club? And
do you guys actually race? Is that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you talk to me about, I mean.
We drag race.
Of course. Is there any other kind?
No.
Yes, there
is.
But yeah,
Shane.
What's the different race?
I know. Shane, so where do you guys do?
Where do you race?
Class racing brackets? What do you do?
Bracket racing. So we race at Spokane County Raceway.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's a nice track.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, the nice thing about bracket racing is it really means you have to dial yourself in. And if you go outside that bracket, you're pretty much toast. And it's all about reaction time off the line. Because once you hit that, 100-foot, 200-foot pad, you better peg it and stay with your speed. So it's very interesting how that works.
So are you racing your Impala?
No, that's got a 283 in it. It's really No, I have a 84 Mustang with a 347 stroker.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Did you build that yourself?
No. My husband's a mechanic.
Ah, okay. Well, that always helps.
Well, and I know what everything is in my car, and I could probably do some of it.
Sure.
Just you know, I couldn't do all of it.
No, that's all right. It's all good to have help. Shane's actually
right.
helping me build my car. Everybody jumps in, you know, it's no problem. Steve's got a 68 El Camino that we are threatening to go over to his house and build for him because it's been sitting there for 12 years and he hasn't done anything with it. So
it's going to start in March. You know that.
You know how that works, yeah. Hey, listen, Rochelle, we've only got a couple of minutes here before we got to take a break, but we're going to come back on the other side. Give me the website and the Facebook page.
We are misshifters.com.
Okay.
And our Facebook is, I don't even know that one. Our Instagram is misshifters_CC. That one's easier.
Okay.
Our Facebook isn't.
All right. Well, we're going to put that definitely on our page, and we're going to help promote that stuff. Now, I also know that coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Spokane. You guys have a relationship with the track over there. What's the name of the track again?
Spokane County Raceway.
So you got a relationship with the track, and some of those things may be changing. I know you got some discussions going on over there, so maybe we can kind of cover some of that when we come back on the other side.
I got a quick question because before we go to the break, what's the age range of your members?
My niece is in our club, and she is 18, and we have some 60-year-olds, but most of us are in our 40s.
Oh, wow.
Nice. That's the perfect age.
So have you tried, is anybody that, let's say, might be 60, 65, on the edge of the baby boomer, have any of ladies, because I know a number of them around here that have nice cars, had any of them approached you guys to be part of that?
Oh, yeah. We probably have 4 ladies in our mid-60s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you cover all the gamuts. We're going to be back in just a minute. Just stick right with us. We got another story from the old Car Nut books and more with Rochelle Stevens and the Misshifters. That and more on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Yes, boys and girls, we're back with the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, we were talking with Misshifters all about their really cool thing, and that's Rochelle. Is who we're talking to. And can you not hear anything there, Brady?
We can hear fine. We're just giving you a hard time.
Oh, you are? Because I'm having a really bad time. It's
Shane,
like...
Steve is doing the best he possibly can, and Shane and I over here doing sock puppets. It's just... this is the level of our show,
Full
Rochelle.
Disclosure, we redid the sound system, and I'm like, still my brain is like, what's the... Da, da, da. So anyway...
That's the excuse this week.
Yes, it is.
It's all good.
If you touch my mic, it makes noises.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got the mystery sound effect that we can't figure out where it's coming from. So, Rochelle, we were just talking before the break about what's going on in Spokane. Now, you guys have been racing at the Spokane, what's the name of it again? Forgive me.
Spokane County Raceway?
I was going to say that, and I wasn't sure I was right.
Yeah, Spokane County Raceway. The only one is having a problem tonight.
We're just going to have to take my Paul over and go visit him.
I think that's it. So, you guys, like I say, you guys have been racing over there for quite a while, and now they're making some kind of a change. We were talking about this a little bit off the air, but give me what's going on over there. Is there some way we can help?
Well, the current management, their lease is up as of, I think, October 1st, and none of us racers, I don't think anybody really knows. We're all kind of up in the air. Everything is, we just don't know what's going on. So we don't know if someone's taking over the track. We don't know if the track's being sold. We don't know if it's going to be bulldozed. None of us know anything.
Wow.
So,
I wouldn't think that they would shut the track down. I mean, it's full. They do lots of events over there, I know. I got a buddy that is, you know, big in the drag racing community over there.
Yeah, but land is worth a lot of money, and someone might be saying, I want to build something out here.
Exactly.
They're going to build in Spokane, a grain silo? Come on.
There's lots Spokane
is actually...
There's lots of empty land over there.
I can say that. I got family.
I'm 100% with you, Brady, but I do know a little bit about Spokane. It is growing quite
a lot. Oh, I know it is.
Quite a bit.
Yep.
And what you need is a family like we have here at our racetrack, who's pumping in a lot of money.
Well, is there going to be a hearing about this? Is there community involvement? How is this all working for you guys?
There was a commissioner's meeting supposed to be last Tuesday, and it got canceled. And now this coming Tuesday, there's a commissioner's meeting. It's at 5:30. Anyone that's willing to come down and stand up and say, hey, we need this track. I don't know if we're on the agenda. We're just kind of going to show the commissioners that the track means a lot to us.
Sure, sure. Well, we wish you the best of support. When will you know? Is there going to be one meeting? Is there going to be a series of meetings? Is this got to go to a board or the county? Or what's the process? You don't know?
No idea.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
Yeah, exactly. I wrecked my car a month ago, and I don't want to fix it unless I know I have a track.
I see that, sure.
No, I take it there's no abandoned airports that are further out of town in the county that maybe someone might want to lease?
No, and not for my car's too big for that. I need prepped tracks.
Oh.
Go up to the Air Force Base up there on the hill and... West side.
Right.
I'm sure they wouldn't. At least one runway they could probably let you use.
Right.
Maybe not. Well, darn. So if that happens, I mean, let's just play the game here for a second. If the track decides to close or go into an extended remodeling thing, what happens to all the racers? Where do they go? Because, I mean, the closest track from you guys that's of that size, is there one in Tri-Cities?
There's Walla Walla.
Yeah.
There's Renegade.
Right.
And then Woodburn is... Those are the three Spokane racers go to. Probably 60-70% of the racers would go to those tracks, but there's certain racers like me, I probably wouldn't be a traveler.
Sure. Boise.
A lot of them will, but I'm not a traveler.
Yeah.
Woodburn is quite a ways away.
Yeah, Woodburn's a distance, and I know there's a track in Boise, but that's also a huge shed.
Yes.
Plus over the mountains and all the rest of that.
Yeah.
There's not one in Coeur d'Alene, not one in Post Falls.
No.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, and that is one of the big challenges for the sport itself is a lot of places around the United States are closing down, and it is because of land values and the infill. And so what used to be quiet 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago when these places launched are now, because of land and the Growth Management Act, all these areas are now called growth zones and build zones, and rather than going further out in the country, which they can't, they take over areas that they can, which means...
Yeah, that's for sure.
Guess what?
Yeah, the apartment buildings just went up away from it.
Everywhere.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If it's like moving in next to an airport. If you move in and the airport is already there, you have no right to complain about the plane noise because it's there. But if you move in while the track is closed or the developer buys the property, then that becomes problematic. I can see it.
Now, Martha Lake is our little one, and it went away.
Yeah.
But it was just a... So
it sounds to me like you guys need a kind of a groundswell of community support over there, yeah?
Yeah. But we don't even know when they're going to decide. We all got letters from the commissioner, one of the commissioners this week, and it made it sound like they would have an answer for us soon, but... where does that, we're at a complete loss over here.
Wow. And an answer based on what? You don't know, right?
I mean, we have no idea.
Had any hearings or anything like that?
No, nothing.
Man. Well, listen, yeah. We can't solve this tonight because we don't know any more than you do, but please keep us advised of what's going on over there because, yep. You know, it's the exception rather than the rule that you have a culture that rich, you know, over there that, you know, everybody's involved and the track is solid and you got your group and everything else. So we want to know what's happening. And if there's some way that we can help by promoting something, then just make sure you give us a call and let us do that for you.
Well, and our track is beautiful. I mean,
a road course,
a circle track, the drag strip, and it's a great facility. It will be tragic if it goes away.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
now, go ahead, Steve.
Part of that, if let's say worst case scenario, it goes away, will people just modify? Well, the ones that are going to travel, you said they're going to still travel, but there are a number of people that are probably going to say, you know, I'm just going to convert this thing to a nice road monster and we'll just take it to the shows and that kind of thing. Is that will maybe happen with some of these cars? Is they'll be
probably,
yeah, so there'll be people go, hey, well, have you taken down the drag strip? I used to, but not anymore.
Yep. Now it has street tires.
So how many events do you gals hold on a yearly basis?
So we do a kickoff event where we did it with the RSC guys this year.
Yeah.
We had fire dancers and stilt walkers and loud music and brews. And
you know, Kevin will do that after a few beers. He's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, it was somebody else. I'm sorry. I have this picture of Kevin.
No, he was doing a drunken tricycle race.
I'm sure he was. Yes.
Yes.
I can see him and Pugs and the rest of those guys doing all of that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, and then we have our big car show called Broads and Rods where we make all our own trophies and
perfect.
We do our judging perfect. Different than other shows. And
oh, bribery? No, I'm sorry. That isn't what I meant. I didn't mean that at all. Different. Well, that's different.
You know, and then we do volunteer events with other clubs in town.
Super.
We, like right now, we're collecting clothes for a women's shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't just do car stuff.
We
do all kinds of things.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the clubs now, instead of just being cruising clubs or, you know, show and shine clubs, they do stuff like that because the more involved in the community you are, the better. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like today, us going to the old folks' home, it was fun and it felt good. And
yeah.
They loved the cars and... It's great.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. I actually have a relationship with one of the senior centers close to us here, and they're looking to make up shortfall in donations for next year. And I said, look, I'll produce a car show for you. We can do this. I mean, because that's part of what I do. And coming up in, we haven't picked a date. It's going to be March, April, maybe May. We will actually do a car show in their parking lot. We'll have some slow drags and, you know, stuff like that, because it's just, it's the thing that you do. I mean, we'll give them the money, you know. Yeah.
They had a 50-50 raffle and really cool raffle baskets. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, big
fun.
See, that's what people think about car clubs a little bit differently. You know, there's a certain group of people that go, oh, car clubs, a bunch of guys that drive around with their arm out the window, you know, cruising and, you know, doing the low rider. It's like, no, you don't understand. It's a community service group. We just happen to do it around cars.
Yes, family-oriented.
My crew, we consider ourselves sisters. I would do anything for my ladies, and I know they'd do the same. We are family.
So now I got to ask, over here, it's very popular. Is it the pinup girls? The electric?
The electric pinup dolls.
Electric pinup dolls. Do you have
heard of that.
Okay, so do you do any of the pinup gals where they dress up in the old 50s style outfits and just have, you know, have a lot of fun? Do you do, is there any gals that do that kind of thing that you guys mix with?
One of our girls won a pinup contest this weekend at a show we were at.
That's kind
of
cool.
So we do it, but we're typically not those kind of girls. A lot of us are just regular chicks, you know. Like, you look at the other car clubs around, like the California car clubs, all of those girls look like pinup dolls all the time, whereas we're like, I've got on sweatpants, man. And One of the girls always has grease on her face because she's always working on a car.
Well, we should clarify the dolls. They're actually a charitable group, and they're probably very much like you. The electric pinup.
They're
dolls.
Just normal looking women.
It's a family. It's a family oriented pinup. I think they're more like dress up rather than pinup.
It is,
and
yeah.
Everybody's all different sizes. Oh, go to their Facebook page, Electric Pinup Dolls. Brenda Cavaretto is the leader of the group.
Okay.
They do a super job, and they do stuff like, you remember the movie A League of Their Own.
Mm-hmm.
So they will dress up like those girls and go to a Mariners game over here, and they get in for free, and the Mariners get their picture taken with them and stuff like that so that they can promote pinup. They do it all for charity. And it's great. And it's all family stuff. It's not, you know, cleavage.
No, it's not like some of the California gals you're talking about.
It's great stuff.
Right. Well, they just want to be cool and be seen. Look at me, I'm a low rider.
Yeah. Just that.
Like, no, we actually whatever.
Well, no, you're a true. There was a gal over at the XXX rat rod infestation, and she had this. What was that thing? It was like a blazer or something. It was like a huge dog. I think it was a Dodge truck, just monster thing. And I was talking to her, and she built it herself. She did all of her own work.
Yeah, it was a Ram Charger.
Yeah, it was a Ram Charger. And she was sitting up there, jacked up. And
it was the Chuck Norris version.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Yeah. We have a Ram Charger in our club, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great car. Those square bodies were just great for doing that stuff with.
Well, and there was like two or three of the gals over there that worked on their own cars and were proudly promoting them. And I just think that's wonderful. It takes a different. Now you say your husband's involved with. Does he got his own cars and he do his own thing?
Well, he has a Pinto.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, you need to save the big exploding cars. It's important to have.
Somebody needs one that's not on fire. But does I'm the have one that has all it? The cars.
Oh, really? Okay.
Ah, yeah. There you go.
He's not interested, and he's definitely not interested in going fast.
Well, if he has a Pinto, I don't think he's interested in going fast.
No.
Sorry, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He doesn't even like getting in my Mustang, so.
Oh, I see.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
You sound like you probably like my wife. She is, she's all about, you know, doing stuff. She actually has a commercial grade CDL and is licensed to drive triples. Well, she doesn't do it anymore, but she did for years. Yeah, so she's all there.
She rides her motorcycle, though,
she
right?
She does, yeah. She and I rode to Sturgis a few years ago. She rode hers and I rode mine. Yep.
My wife wanted to do that. She was thinking, she and her best friend were thinking of getting in a semi-truck and, you know, doing truck driving for a while.
Oh, it sounds like fun until you do it.
Yeah.
My grandmother was a truck driver.
There you go. Yeah, you know.
Long hours away from home.
God love truck drivers. Nothing wrong with them at all, but it's not a job for everybody. It can be very tough.
Not at all.
Oh, man. Well, so, Rochelle, give us before we get out of here, what's your next official Miss Shifters event that's coming up?
We have a couple little things. We have a race this weekend and a thing called Valley Fest.
Oh.
And then we have a senior all-nighter thing that we help my niece with because she's just graduated. So we go do her high school senior all-nighter. And then we have something called Freaks and Rats.
Oh, cool.
And it's at the Harley-Davidson shop, and it's all rat bikes and rat rods.
Oh, tell me that's
and
around
the
Halloween.
Shiny cars. Yeah, the shiny cars get their own spot off to the side. We are not in the spotlight. And it's going to be a part fundraiser for Jaren with the RSC guys.
Yes.
He was in a wreck.
Yeah, we saw.
Yeah, yeah. So
I understand they transported him to a hospital close to him now.
Yep.
Yeah,
they
that's
put
a
him
deal.
In a rehab facility today.
For those of you who aren't familiar with this situation, the story is on our Facebook page, so you can go and check it out. And they're actually looking to do a little fundraising as well, so that's very cool that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, I think we've raised well over $10,000 for him so
nice.
Far.
Oh, very good. Nice. Very good.
His car's going to be at the Freaks and Rats show, so, yeah.
Very nice. All right. Well, so, Rochelle, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. Now, I know you wanted to get some of the other women in the club on. We're going to have you back, and we'll be able to do all of that stuff. So give us one more time your Instagram page is?
Miss Shifters_CC.
Super. We're going to put that on our website. We're going to make sure that people understand about your fundraiser, and you keep us informed about what's happening with the track, all right?
Okay. All right. I will do. Thank you, guys.
Super.
So
thanks for joining us. That was really cool. I'm glad you came.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
that you. That is an amazing thing. I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures of your cars, and we'll promote them on our thing. Well, you're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a cool hot rod story you can tell your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air-Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
Welcome back to Horsepower Grow with the Rest. That was a delayed entry. We are here with story time, Grady.
Steve's like double pumping the hand signals. It's and
here we are.
Steve's like, what, me? Is it me?
We turned everything down.
Yeah, we did. I turned down the opportunity to double for, never mind. So
yes.
We are with a hot rod.
Bruce Willis.
I have a lovely, right. Well, we got the same haircut.
Yeah.
We got a great story. This time it's one another one from the book number one, and this one is a Larry Brooks story. Larry writes some good stuff. He's got several stories in here. This one is called Why I Love White Cars. I got nothing. I don't know why. You know how sometimes you just seem to click with somebody or something that just seems so natural for you? And I've felt this many times in my life. I've had a love affair with cars since I first knew what they were. I didn't play or care at all for sports. As a kid, I saved my allowance and spent every penny of it on auto-related items. I bought Hot Rod and Carcraft magazines religiously. I bought model cars and I built them. When I could force myself to save my money long enough, I'd purchase a factory promotional model. Later in life, I began purchasing real cars. Of course, I noticed a trend developing in my preferences, mostly in the color. It wasn't intentional by any means. It just occurred on its own, or so I thought. That color was white, and after I bought my first white car, I noticed I just enjoyed sitting and looking at that car. I did this much more than all the other cars I had owned. Finally realized it was because of the color. I noticed the lines of the car seemed to look better when finished with white paint, and the car was clean. Well, it really, really looked clean. I felt that the chrome accents and the chrome wheels on the car truly stood out on a background of white paint. Hey, everybody's got to, you know, do something. I noticed this more and more as I bought more white cars. It was becoming an obsession. I've owned probably 20 or more white cars in my time. Relatives, friends, co-workers alike have all asked me at one time or another why I like white cars so much. And I'd always tell them the reasons stated above. But I knew in the back of my mind there was more to it than that. However, for many years, I just couldn't put my finger on it. And then one day, I had an epiphany. I used to have an epiphany. 58. It's a convertible. Yeah. Yes. Four-speed. If you do not know the definition of this word, look it up, as it has a very strong bearing on the outcome of this story. In 1957, when I was 5 years old, already a huge car lover, my father decided to purchase a new family vehicle. He left home one day to search out for his dream car. Apparently impressed by the success of the Pontiacs, were having a NASCAR racing that year, he came home later that day with a 57 Pontiac Star Chief two-door hardtop. It was the complete opposite of the car he had driven to the dealership, a 51 Buick Special two-door sedan that was dark green and gray interior and black wall tires. It was a drab and frumpy car, even in my five-year-old mind. However, the Star Chief was as beautiful a car as I had ever seen in my short life. They had great chrome on those things.
Oh, yeah,
those were just awesome. Had a great big wide white wall tires, spinner hubcaps, fender skirts, rear antenna, funny-looking triangular sort of emblem in the front fender. And I asked my dad what that was, and he said it stood for the tri-power engine in the car. I remember his lifting the hood, telling me to look under that huge air cleaner at the three carburetors. I did look. I didn't understand what tri-power was or did. He told me that was what made the Pontiac so fast. Well, sort of. The car was truly modern-looking compared to the old Buick he had, and it was white. It had a dark red spear down the side, and the leather interior was dark red and white. I'd never had a car affect me like that one did. Then we rode around in it, and I genuinely felt special. Remember what a brilliant sunny day it was in Atlanta, Georgia, on that afternoon? The weather was warm, and we all had four windows down. I absolutely loved it and was excited that it was about to be ours. After my dad, mom, sister, and I arrived back home in it, my dad told my mother he was going to go back and try to make a deal with them on this car. My mother gave her approval, and off he went. He came back home a couple of hours later in a new 57 Pontiac. It just wasn't that Star Chief. It was a Chieftain, two-door hardtop with wide white walls and small hubcaps. Its main color was aqua with a white spear on the side, and it didn't have the tri-power. I remember the huge letdown I experienced even at that age. He said he couldn't afford the Star Chief, so he had to go to the Chieftain line. It was really a bummer. That white Star Chief had been burned in my mind and obviously still is to this day. The next big experience for me was in 1959. By then, we'd moved to Mobile, Alabama. My dad was the manager of an insurance agency there, and one evening after supper, one of his agents came by the house to show us his new car. It was a 59 Chevy Impala, two-door hardtop with wide white wall tires, spinner hubcaps, fender skirts, dual rear antennas, and a pair of crossed flags above a chrome V emblem on the hood. Chevy had the style. The agent asked my dad if he knew what the crossed flags indicated, and he said he did not. Neither did I. So he opened the hood, and I saw massive orange valve covers with a huge black air cleaner above them. The man told us to look under the air cleaner, and I noticed this car had three carburetors, too. Suddenly, all the memories of that 57 Star Chief came flooding back into my young but impressionable mind. Guess what color that 59 Impala was?
Red?
No.
White.
Yep, it was white.
I wonder if it had a red accent.
It had a bright turquoise interior, and he had windows down. The car was even more beautiful than that Star Chief was. Now, being a proud new owner, he asked if we would like to take a ride in it. I remember saying, well, yeah. They both laughed at that, and we got in the car, and more magic happened. More magic. He started the engine, and the exhaust reverberated through the whole body of the car. As we proceeded down the street, it roared. My dad inquired about the smooth rumble, and the guy told us he'd taken it to an exhaust shop as soon as he bought it, and he had him install glass packs. Shane's like, glass packs, of course. Yep, I was really in heaven, proud to just be seen in this car, and it became emblazoned in my tender young mind. I remember asking my dad sometime after that if we could get a car like that, and he gave me a stern no. No? What do you mean no? I honestly believe this is the reason I love white cars so much now, and I have for so many years. I own six cars. Four of them are white. I can find no other reason for my absolute obsession with this wonderful hue for an automobile than the imprint that was left on my young mind and impressionable psyche. When the time comes that I'm done obsessing with cars, it'll be because my soul has passed from this earth, and I hope that when that time comes, I'll be carried to my final destination in a white hearse.
Hearst.
You know, the first car that I actually owned was given to me, well, sold to me for a buck, by my parents, and it was a 63 Chevy Impala, white. It was an SS.
Yep.
Had the 283 with the Power Glide transmission.
Yep.
It was blue Naga hide interior with a floor console, all chrome. And I took the factory gear shift knob was a white, you know, plastic ball. But I went out and bought a chrome one.
Ooh.
And I put that chrome one on there. And the car went faster.
It did?
In my mind.
Yes. I started out with a white 67 Camaro with...
There you go, see?
With Robert Egg blue interior as well.
Yeah, there you are. There you are. And, you know, back in those days, leather, they weren't doing them now. They were doing, you know, synthetics.
I got a white Taurus
Naga
right now, 2001.
Nagahide was... Actually, it's that was the stuff. Yeah. You know how many Nagas you had to catch to make an interior for a whole car?
Oh, yeah.
They were hard to find. Yeah, way up in the mountains.
You know,
in
this
Andes.
Guy would get along just fine with the guy that liked white Corvettes. Remember the story about the white Corvette?
Yes, that's right, the white Corvettes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is from book one, and like, you know, we always say, these books, the old Car Nut books, are super stories. They are available on Amazon, or you can get them from the oldcarnutbook.com. I'm trying to talk David into, you know, getting the fourth book into place. I may ask him if I can supply some of the stories, and I'll do the dog work, and he can get the credit for publishing the thing. Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. We'll see. But they do make a great gift. And you know what? There's great stories in there that we don't share on the air because they're too long for the segment.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are several pages. In fact, we had David on the show last year specifically to do the true story of the Hot Rod Lincoln from the song. It exists. It's an actual car, and it's just longer than we could do. So we actually took two segments, and David read the story for us, which I'm very, very grateful for him having done.
Well, we got a couple minutes here left, and I just wanted to say congratulations to the winners at the Hemmings Concourse Show.
Oh.
And one of those lucky winners was the owner of a, get this, 1976 International Scout II Patriot.
Was it white?
White with the red, white, and blue stripes right
nice.
Down the side. Remember that? That was
sure.
You know, those are very iconic, and there's international clubs.
They were kind of the mini square bodies.
Yeah. We're going to have to hook up with an international
Bronco
club in the area.
Kind of. It's the International's version of the Bronco.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, which one came first, the International or the Bronco? Ooh.
God, I'm thinking this.
International.
Yeah, the Scout.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The Scout.
Yeah. That's cool.
We'll be right back. For more of the trivia question,
oh yeah,
this week we've got some really cool answers and questions. So
oh,
stick
yeah.
with us. Bye.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man.
Welcome back to Around the Wheel. This is our fifth segment. We talk about upcoming events and weekly trivia question. And there is an upcoming event, but I'll talk about it in a minute. The trivia question from last week was a very, very cool one. You'll remember our friend Nathan Lipinski.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan won 2 weeks ago. He did a great job coming up with the answer to one of the trivia questions, and he answered us on the Facebook page, as we are wont to do. And Nathan is a regular listener. Thank you, Nathan. And he had also the answer for this week's trivia question.
Oh, wow.
Now, Nathan already has a picture up there of him, of Shane handing him the...
Well, if he had been at the Edmonds Car Show,
yes,
we would have a picture of him.
We could. However, Nathan, while he did have the correct answer this week, he was not first.
Oh.
He was not. He did a great job. But actually, Robert Waldo, who lives in Bothell, Washington, which is just around the corner from where we are, he actually... He sent an answer to me on Facebook on, let's see, we did the show, it posted last Wednesday night, and he had it Wednesday morning.
Wow.
It was like, geez, Robert, what are you doing? But good for him. The question was, the famous designer Harley Earl introduced something for both Chevy and Cadillac in 1948 that changed the entire automotive styling industry. What was that? And the answer was the fin.
Mm-hmm.
Fins started in 1948 in both Chevy and Cadillac, and sure, I made it a huge deal. And so Robert knew that, and probably he's, you know, hanging
I
on
thought
a fin.
It was a
as
fender skirt.
No, oh. Fins. Fender skirts have been around for a long time.
Oh yeah, it's just 20s,
30s.
30s, yeah.
Maybe even before
yeah.
that. Yeah. But yeah, so it was a fin, and so so Robert is the scorer of the giant-sized economy version bucket of Barn Find Dust, and you too could do the same if you know the answer to this question. This week, Chrysler, the company of many automotive innovations, first used not only the term, but the actual motor, the Hemi, in what year? There you go.
Mm.
When would they first come up with the Hemi? That is your question.
Shane, you can't
if you know,
say
Shane knows. I don't have to ask him. He knows. He's mouthing it as we speak, but you don't get to win. You already have the Barn Find Dust. You can't do that. So if you know, yep, get us on Facebook. You can get us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can send us a contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com answer, or you can just yell and scream real loud, and we'll probably hear you, and we'll tell you next week who wins.
And speaking of Barn Find Dust, we will be uploading pictures from the Edmonds Car Show that I think there was well over 30 winners of the trivia questions, and they each got their picture taken with their Barn Find Dust, and they went home with our
mini
Barn Dust.
Mini buckets.
And they were like, but there's nothing in there. I go, you know, this is a virtual Barn Dust.
It's ninja
dust. And then they all
dust.
Laughed.
It's
everybody ninja just laughed.
Ninja
they all
dust.
Love it.
Yeah, if they want to come over to my shop, they can scrape some off my new car.
And I said, well, you can put some candy in it and stuff. Oh, that's a... But people are hanging them from their car window. You know, they loved it. It was a win.
No, Steve did a great job. He was there all day long asking trivia questions. People came up and they got to answer the questions. Of course, the fact that I was standing behind him some of the time telling them what the answers were, we don't, you know.
You, Brady, you're lying.
We
you
don't,
weren't even there at all.
We
I mean,
don't
you
care.
You were too busy running the show.
Oh, I'll tell you, I was there. But that's okay.
Yes.
It works just fine. And you know what? We had a good time. It was really nice to
it
see
was.
Everybody out there.
Speaking of show, there is one. It's going to be in Snohomish. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
No, no,
the 29th of September.
Yep.
I'm hoping to be out there, another show.
I'm hoping to bring my new car.
Oh.
Oh, that's right.
Is that the truck?
Yeah, I got it ready.
Did you polish it up?
Yeah, actually, I buffed the rust. it's a shiny rusty yes, to the maker now.
It's a glossy patina.
Yes, it is.
Red with rust.
No,
it's orange.
Orange rust.
Orange rust.
Yes,
okay.
Orange rust.
But it's two-toned orange rust.
Yes. Was there another one that you were going to talk about?
Oh, only I actually have something. This is I'm really kind of excited about this, although it's not going to happen until March. The Shoreline Lake Forest Park Senior Center is short on their budget for next year, and they need to get about $90,000. So we're going to do a car show for them. Details are coming. Stick with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. That puts a cork in it for this particular week. Thanks to Rochelle Stevens for coming over and talking with us about the Miss Shifters in Spokane. If you have a business that caters to people, give us a call. We can do some good for you. Contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, and your face to the windshield. Next week, we do another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
See you then.